Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Tales for Life podcast. Today's episode is called, It's the Little Things. We've probably heard people say dozens of times, or more, that it's the little things in life that matter. We nod our heads, agree, and then go out looking for the latest gidgy gadget, fanciest gizmo, or most luxurious whatchamacallit. And when we get that thing, we're pleased with it for a month, or week, or day, then start all over again. What's the reason for this? It's because those things don't really matter. When I talk about things that really matter, I'm not going to the absolute basics of things like food, shelter, and clothing, or, more simply put, life's necessities. I'm going a little higher than that, and referring to those things that make life worth living. These things, by and large, are not owning the latest smartphone, having a TV set the size of a bedroom wall, or driving a car that can go from 0 to 60 in less than 4 seconds. The things that make life worth living are often very valuable, but seldom have a price tag. Given the history of society and its system of rich and poor, it's no surprise that folk tales on this subject are numerous. After all, one could choose to live in misery and always think you're missing out on something. Or one could choose to look around at what they have and realize that being able to have 13 pieces of silverware next to your dinner doesn't make it taste any better. One of the most famous stories on this subject has many variants across Europe, Asia, and even the Middle East. But the version of the tale I find most enjoyable is this version from France, first recorded by Andrew Lang in his Green Fairy book in 1892. This tale is called The Dirty Shepherdess. Once upon a time there lived a king who had two daughters, and he loved them with all his heart. When they grew up, he was suddenly seized with the wish to know if they, on their part, truly loved him, and he made up his mind that he would give his kingdom to whichever best proved her devotion. So he called the elder princess and said to her, "How much do you love me?" "As the apple of my eye," answered she. "Ah," exclaimed the king, kissing her tenderly as he spoke, "you are indeed a good daughter." Then he sent for the younger and asked her how much she loved him. "I look upon you, my father," she answered, "as I look upon salt in my food." But the king did not like her words and ordered her to quit the court and never again to appear before him. The poor princess went sadly up to her room and began to cry. But when she was reminded of her father's commands, she dried her eyes, made a bundle of her jewels and her best dresses, and hurriedly left the castle where she was born. She walked straight along the road in front of her, without knowing very well where she was going or what was to become of her, for she had never been shown how to work, and all she had learnt consisted of a few household rules and recipes of dishes which her mother had taught her long ago. And as she was afraid that no housewife would want to engage a girl with such a pretty face, she determined to make herself as ugly as she could. She therefore took off the dress that she was wearing and put on some horrible old rags belonging to a beggar, all torn and covered with mud. After that, she smeared mud all over her hands and face and shook her hair into a great tangle. Having thus changed her appearance, she went about offering herself as a goose girl or a shepherdess. But the farmer's wives would have nothing to say to such a dirty maiden, and sent her away with a morsel of bread for charity's sake. After walking for a great many days without being able to find any work, she came to a large farm where they were in want of a shepherdess and engaged her gladly. One day when she was keeping her sheep in a lonely tract of land, she suddenly felt a wish to dress herself in her robes of splendor. She washed herself carefully in the stream, and as she always carried her bundle with her, it was easy to shake off her rags and transform herself in a few moments into a great lady. The king's son, who had lost his way out hunting, perceived this lovely damsel a long way off and wished to look at her closer. But as soon as the girl saw what he was at, she fled into the wood as swiftly as a bird. The prince ran after her, but as he was running, he caught his foot in the root of a tree and fell. And when he got up again, she was nowhere to be seen. When she was quite safe, she put on her rags again and smeared over her face and hands. However, the young prince, who was both hot and thirsty, found his way to the farm to ask for a drink of cider, and he inquired the name of the beautiful lady that kept the sheep. At this, everyone began to laugh, for they said that the shepherdess was one of the ugliest and dirtiest creatures under the sun. The prince thought some witchcraft must be at work, and he hastened away before the return of the shepherdess, who became that evening the butt of everybody's jest. But the king's son thought often of the lovely maiden whom he had only seen for a moment, though she seemed to him much more fascinating than any lady of the court. At last he dreamed of nothing else, and grew thinner day by day till his parents inquired what was the matter, promising to do all they could to make him as happy as he once was. He dared not tell them the truth, lest they should laugh at him, so he only said that he should like some bread baked by the kitchen girl in the distant farm. Although the wish appeared rather odd, they hastened to fulfill it, and the farmer was told the request of the king's son. The maiden showed no surprise at receiving such an order, but merely asked for some flour, salt, and water, and also that she might be left alone in a little room adjoining the oven, where the kneading trough stood. Before beginning her work, she washed herself carefully and even put on her rings, but while she was baking, one of her rings slid into the dough. When she had finished, she dirtied herself again and let lumps of the dough stick to her fingers so that she became as ugly as before. The loaf, which was a very little one, was brought to the king's son, who ate it with pleasure. But in cutting it, he found the ring of the princess, and declared to his parents that he would marry the girl whom that ring fitted. So the king made a proclamation through his whole kingdom, and ladies came from afar to lay claim to the honor. But the ring was so tiny that even those who had the smallest hands could only get it on their little fingers. In a short time, all the maidens of the kingdom, including the peasant girls, had tried on the ring, and the king was just about to announce that their efforts had been in vain, when the prince observed that he had not yet seen the shepherdess. They sent to fetch her, and she arrived covered with rags, but with her hands cleaner than usual, so that she could easily slip on the ring. The king's son declared that he would fulfill his promise, and when his parents mildly remarked that the girl was only a keeper of sheep, and a very ugly one too, the maiden boldly said that she was born a princess, and that, if they would only give her some water and leave her alone in a room for a few minutes, she would show that she could look as well as anyone in fine clothes. They did what she asked, and when she entered in a magnificent dress, she looked so beautiful that all saw she must be a princess in disguise. The king's son recognized the charming damsel of whom he had once caught a glimpse, and, flinging himself at her feet, asked if she would marry him. The princess then told her story and said that it would be necessary to send an ambassador to her father to ask his consent and to invite him to the wedding. The princess's father, who had never ceased to repent his harshness towards his daughter, had sought her through the land. But as no one could tell him anything of her, he supposed her dead. Therefore, it was with great joy he heard that she was living, and that a king's son had asked her in marriage, and he quitted his kingdom with his elder daughter so as to be present at the ceremony. By the orders of the bride, they only served her father at the wedding, breakfast bread without salt and meat without seasoning. Seeing him make faces and eat very little, his daughter, who sat beside him, inquired if his dinner was not to his taste. "No," he replied, "the dishes are carefully cooked and sent up, but they are all so dreadfully tasteless." "Did I not tell you, my father, that salt was the best thing in life? And yet, when I compared you to salt to show how much I loved you, you thought slightingly of me, and you chased me from your presence." The king embraced his daughter and allowed that he had been wrong to misinterpret her words. Then, for the rest of the wedding feast, they gave him bread made with salt and dishes with seasoning, and he said they were the very best he had ever eaten. One of the best aspects of this story, and its other versions, is that we find the truly valuable things are so little that they cut across class and wealth. Salt is available to the farmer and the king, and both of them value it highly. Yet it's the princess who actually knows the value of it, even though the price is small. And so it is with us. If we stop and look around at everything we have around ourselves, what are the things we truly value and could not live without? If we consider that carefully, we're likely to find, for most cases, that they are little things or things that don't cost so very much. And, again, I'm skipping over food, shelter, and clothing here. Once those basic needs are met, what do we really want or need to be happy? I'm betting that it's not much, and that those things are actually rather little and, in the end, priceless.